AV Nation is brought to you by Sure, because every voice matters.
I think that in a lot of organizations, you know, it's already thought of as that the salesperson is, you know, kind of the front man of the band, right? You know, he's the singer, he's the mic, he's out in front, and you know, sometimes feels like the programmer is kind of like the lonely bassist sitting in the background, you know.
But everyone hates the bass player. No one invites the bass player to the party after the show.
Hey, what are you guys doing after the show? Oh, nothing. Okay.
Programmers often have difficulty getting their voices heard. So on this episode, we're going to talk about why that's the case. What are some ways to get their feet wet and get comfortable? And what are the possible value that can be had by programmers being more outspoken? All that and more on A State of Control. A State of Control, episode 111. Welcome to A State of Control, an AV Nation podcast that highlights the control programming and audiovisual aspects of the industry. My name is Steve Greenblatt. I'm your host. Thanks for joining us today. On today's show, we're going to talk about something a little interesting. It's going to be about how can we get more programmers to share their voice. And we have a few here today that are willing to do so, and I'm going to introduce them. But first, I'm going to say hi to my partner here at A State of Control. He's known as Uncle Richie and also Rich Fregosa. How are you, Rich?
I'm doing good. Mellow West Coast greetings. It's good to be back.
Without further ado, I'd like to welcome one returning guest and somebody who I know for some time that's going to be joining us for the first time, but not somebody who's unfamiliar to the AV Nation audience. But first, Kate Atkins from Root Integrated Systems. She was last on episode 104 and also episode 97. Welcome back, Kate.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Thanks for being here. And last but not least is Erin Marmoran. She's the host of the EdTech podcast, so you should know her there from AV Nation. Also a programmer in her past life and now works at Johns Hopkins University and manages AV team. Welcome, Erin.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Thanks for being here. One of the things that I think is important is that a lot of programmers have a lot to say, but they don't always share their thoughts. And I think that there's a lot that can be done in this industry with the ideas and the experiences and the knowledge that programmers have. But the key is getting them to go and be outspoken about it, bringing them to the forefront. A lot of them like to live behind the scenes. That may be partly their nature, may also be the way they've just been told to be. But what we're going to talk a little bit about here is a little bit of the why, but also about what are some things that we can do, and what is the impact that we can have if we can get more programmers to be more outspoken and also just take more forward-facing roles. So, Rich, one of the reasons we do this podcast is to bring more attention to AV programming and programmers. So tell me a little bit about what your thoughts are about how could somebody start to bring themselves out of the woodwork, or what can we do to help make that happen?
You know, the biggest part, the beginning part is being open to coaching and seeking coaching. I think that in a lot of organizations, you know, it's already thought of as that the salesperson is, you know, kind of the front man of the band, right? You know, he's the singer, he's the mic, he's out in front, and you know, sometimes feels like the programmer is kind of like the lonely bassist sitting in the background, you know. But you know, but again, it's like in a band, right? The bassist is the one who's laying down the groove, the one who's keeping everybody, you know, kind of going and being part of the rhythm section of the band. And it generally speaking, a lot of programmers don't seek the limelight. They are happy to go ahead and do the work and kind of get in and get out. And if you want to advance your career, it comes down to just the same way that you upgrade your technical chops and you refine your skill set there. Your social skill set, your interpersonal skill set is equal, if not greater at times, to your long-term success, to be able to move to a point where, say, if you're not just going to be coding the entire time, if you want to manage a team of programmers, if you want to run a division, if you want to go ahead and decide and open up your own third-party programming firm, those are going to be the necessary steps in order to acquire business and sustain your business. And so I view it as, from a coaching standpoint, that first question is, do you want to find a way to grow and increase your income and increase all of the ways that you're going to further yourself professionally? And if not, that's okay. That's also okay. That's something that we talk with a lot of people, is that, you know, not everybody wants to take over that world. But if you want to sit and you're good in your lane, that's great. But for people who are looking for that next step, you know, seek out your sales manager, seek out your programming manager, seek out ed tech, you know, depending on whatever vertical that you're in, you know, show up at trade shows, show up at trainings, you know, meet people. And during that period of time, you'll find through the connections that you make, makes it a whole lot easier to seek people out. And that's the hardest part, because it's that first step, which is seeking somebody out and starting that conversation, as opposed to waiting for the conversation, because it's not going to happen. People aren't just going to seek you out and say, hey, you're a fantastic programmer, I need to talk to you about 50 different things about how awesome you are. It's just not how the way that it works. So you got to be willing to take that first step. And I think that, you know, shows like this, but again, the trade shows, everything else, there are opportunities there. It's a scary part, again, like I said, the predilections of your personality. But if you want to grow professionally, that is that jump into the deep end you got to be willing to make, because there are people there waiting on the deep end to help you through it.
Kate, I think a lot of what Rich said may have described some of what you've done over the past year or so. And I know that we've gotten to know each other through Twitter. We finally got to meet in person at Infocom, and you even do your own video cast about user interface. So tell me a little bit about that. Like what inspired you, but also what does that path look like for somebody to follow in your footsteps?
Well, like Rich was saying, it's kind of scary. And I've said it before, like, it's terrifying for me to kind of put myself out there like that. But I did want to take that next step, and I did want to make those connections. So I kind of pushed myself to do that. I think, you know, as programmers, like you were saying, you know, we're a lot of introverts usually, because we have, you know, usually not all, but most of them have that personality. We like to solve puzzles, and we like to think quietly, and we like to plan everything out. And we're trying to, you know, get every condition that might happen, right, and plan for all those things. And those kind of tend to be those isolated things. And pushing yourself out to do that is very scary, but it's also extremely rewarding. I've met so many great people this way, and reaching out and finding that there's other people out there who have the same kind of passions that I do. And it's just a matter of finding them. And you're not going to find them if you don't look, because they're all probably just as quiet as you are, unless you make the effort to get out there. So,
and Aaron, I know that you've had a journey through programming. You've also managed programmers and also gotten pretty involved in HETMA, which is the Higher Ed Technology Managers Alliance. I have to share our acronyms. You know, tell me a little bit about what that looks like, but also maybe focus in on how can you in your role inspire more programmers to be recognized and be heard.
From a manager point of view, like I had read The Radical Candor by Kim Scott, and you know, she talks about the, you know, there are different types of really great employees, that there are the rock stars and the superstars. And the superstars are the ones who want to keep moving and growing, and, you know, they're on the high trajectory, where the rock stars are solid. They get the job done. And that seems to be where a lot of programmers fall. And part of that is probably personality wise. And I think some of it too is like AV in general, in a construction project, AV is kind of last. Well, in an AV project, programming tends to be last. So, you know, if a programmer's doing their job right, they're coming in, they're loading code, they're out. Like, they're not really sticking around and talking by the water cooler and doing all, you know, all the socializing and stuff. And they, you know, we tend to be, you know, a little bit to ourselves. And so there is the less recognition, because you're like, if they did it right, you don't need to really talk anymore. Like, you're like consistently good and not a problem. you're kind of just fall into the background. And I think as a manager, we have to recognize that more and just be able to see, like, they're getting it done. Like, we need to recognize them and call them out a little bit. And I know it sometimes makes people, especially introverted people, like, a lot of times they don't want the spotlight. They're a little, you know, it makes them a little uncomfortable, but you got to kind of like find out what their love language is and really kind of make them feel comfortable with giving them those accolades and kind of boosting them up a little bit and slowly kind of giving them a little nudge and being like, hey, you're doing it. You're doing the right things. And, you know, maybe you have something to say that other programmers out there or other people in the AV industry in general would appreciate. Maybe you go on a podcast or be part of a panel. Because we need the programmers to be a little, you know, putting themselves out there. But I think it also helps to give them a little nudge to kind of move them along.
And it's not just the growth in my opinion. It's also the fact that they have a lot of good things to say. We just have to get it out there. And I think that it could have a big impact on the industry. Rich, I'll kind of turn it back to you. You go to events like a training or some place where programmers really feel comfortable, and they're going to all congregate, and because they have that, they're amongst their people, and that's always a great thing. But there were years where more would go to Infocom. What's changed, and is it okay to just be vocal in your arena, or do we need to find more ways to maybe create a little bit more of a blend and get programmers to be in the same room as designers and salespeople and others in the industry?
Absolutely. The more rooms that you can enter, and the more roads that you can create a point in. And actually, I'm going to take a step aside. I'm going to call out Kate. Kate is a perfect roadmap on how you take those steps. I mean, the hardest part is like, okay, well, I hear theoretically all the things that I should do, right? It's like anything else, right? You can see a management book. You can watch a YouTube video or any of these things about what you should be doing, right? I always tell people, as much as you want to, you can't rationalize irrational thoughts, and irrational thoughts have meaning. They have that grip at times. And if that voice in the back of your head says, I'm not going to start because if it's not perfect, why should I begin? Because that's also one of the problems with programmers too, is that, I always when I've had teams, as I've always coached, and whether it's sports, whether it's programming, business, anything else, is the concept of coaching to excellence and not perfection. Excellence is doing the best you can with the tools you have at that moment, regardless of the outcome. Perfection is, you know, I have this end result and it's binary. It's that pass fail. That's not how it works. Kate was a perfect example for me, in terms of recent memory, in that, you know, from that playbook, found a way on the podcast, introduced herself, reached out on LinkedIn. You know, all of these little things that in the back of your head, when you're pushing out and putting yourself out there, running your own podcast, asking to be on podcasts, showing up in Infocom, going to a tweet up, being part of AV in the AM, any of these things, being part of, you know, these manufacturer programming groups, right? And just typing in. There's one instance I know, a fellow who's been a programmer now for, 21 years. I remember him from when he was starting out as an intern at a community college, and he was supporting like his community college. And he's become, you know, I think almost at this point, a platinum level programmer. But I remember him at that point, and again, kind of quirky, but he was involved. He was always on the boards. And so before I even met him, I knew who he was, and it formed an introduction and it made it easier for me to interact. So you don't have to always do it in person. There's lots of online opportunities to kind of soft pedal your way in. And so, you know, those are a couple examples. And again, I'm just going to throw it, you know, when you want to throw it to Kate, but I am interested because I know that that was a big leap for her. And I just want to say, Kate, that fantastic job. It paid off. And you made the right decision. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was very scary. And I will say it continues to be scary. I mean, it doesn't go away necessarily. I mean, it gets a little bit easier. Like the more people and the more connections you make, you feel a little bit more comfortable with each one. But yeah, there are still times where, you know, I might think like, oh, do I really want to continue to put myself out there? Am I really saying things that make sense that people want to hear? Like, should I just stop and disappear? Like, maybe I shouldn't have done this altogether. But there are so many more benefits to it to continue to put yourself out there. And like I said, it's not going to be always a smooth, you know, incredible transition, like upward. It's not going to always be that constant thing. I've even had to backpedal a little bit just to get back to my comfort zone a little bit and go push forward again. But yeah, it's finding the little places to start. Like you said, LinkedIn, you know, reaching out, AV and the AM has been a great one, because then you get to know people in a less amount of pressure. Because for me, you know, I've said it before, I feel more comfortable talking to computers than to people. So it's easier for me to just do that through, you know, text. I can type things out. I can put my thoughts in order before I send it out there. And then I can get to know people a little bit at a time and get a little bit more comfortable. So definitely find those avenues that make you feel a little bit more comfortable to make that connection and then build from there.
And I echo what Rich said. And trust me, it doesn't get any easier over time, no matter how long you do it. There's always something that you're going to force yourself to do that is new or is just not your favorite thing. It just happened to me yesterday, so I totally get it. Erin, I wanted to see if you could talk a little bit about how HETMA has done such a great job of bringing technology managers together, because I see a parallel here, because technology managers, a lot of them were kind of in their own world, and sometimes they're remote. They really are self-sufficient, and but HETMA has really created a community around that. Do you think that there's something there for programmers as well? Do you think that there's a way that we as an industry could create more community for programmers?
Absolutely. I feel like HETMA has kind of allowed the technology manager to really kind of find its place and grow. And, you know, we've created a culture where everybody has a voice, and we want to make sure that with the acquisition of Higher Ed AV Media, that'll allow HETMA to really kind of just open it up and allow our members to have as much of a voice as they want through podcasts or articles or blogs and stuff like that. And I think that really has empowered the tech manager, and that, you know, and many of us have come from a programming background, and I think it could be beneficial for programmers to kind of band together and have more of an organized group. Because I feel like, you know, the more that we get out there and like shows like this, and it's the whole, like, if you see it, you can be it sort of mentality, where I think, you know, the more programmers see other programmers actually, you know, getting their voices out there, they'll be more encouraged to do it themselves. And so having sort of a central gathering place for other programmers could be, you know, one of the things that helps them really start to get out there and say, we've got something to say.
It's a good kind of stepping off point. As we're wrapping up, what I was going to ask each of you is, and I'll start with you, Kate, is just to talk a little bit about what value you think programmers that do speak up can bring to the industry. What are some things that the industry doesn't know that programmers can offer, or some knowledge, or some ways that they can raise the bar or impact the work that they do just by speaking up, because I think that that would be good proof that there's value here and that we should be encouraged to go and be more, a little bit more outgoing.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that we can bring. And I think part of it is, as Aaron mentioned before, we tend to be at the end of the chain. So everybody kind of at the beginning doesn't necessarily see what we're doing. They don't really know what's going on. They don't know maybe all of the struggles that we deal with, the workarounds that we find, trying to make things work. They don't always know everything that's happened at the very end of the project to make it across the finish line. They just, you know, they see the design and the intention up front, and then they see the results, but they might not see that little bit at the end. So I think as programmers, if we bring that forward and we show our value and show like, hey, we understand how these pieces of gear work together, and we figured out these quirks and we've worked around this way and all that thing, all those kinds of things, it's really important for the rest of the industry, I think, to see that. And I also just, like I've said before, I think what we do is magic. I mean, we manipulate people's environment around them, right? We're making things happen and come to life around people. And I think not everybody keeps that in mind, you know, in the industry. And maybe they kind of forget that sometimes, that, you know, as programmers, we're a huge part of that, of making that happen and making things, you know, that visceral response when things start moving around you that you don't necessarily get from a something on a screen. But it's a big part of the industry and a big part of what makes the magic happen in here. And I think it's important for us to kind of share that with people and share our own passion for it, because if we weren't passionate about it, we probably wouldn't be doing it.
I like that. And Aaron, similar question. What can the industry learn from programmers that are more outspoken, and what are they missing out?
Yeah, I think that potentially system designers can learn that, like, we can do a lot, and sometime in it really is magic. And that if they bring in a programmer straight out the gate, they may be able to even come up with better user experiences and better designed, and just to get I know that they haven't a idea of what the end user wants, but I think a lot of times if the programmer's involved a little bit earlier or directly with the end user, I think there could be a even more of like a symbiotic relationship there and really make those systems shine. Because once the design is done and then handed over and they're like, this is what they want. And they're like, oh, well, we probably could have done this like a little differently. And by that point, like, you know, the POs are cut and everything's, all the stuff's in motion. So we're like, all right, it's a little too late, but there's only so much we can do at that point. But yeah, it's like, get the programmers involved earlier in the process.
Yeah, I think going along with that too, I mean, a lot of times we're the ones that are kind of like at the last person at the job site, or, you know, with the commissioner or whatever. And we're usually the ones that are getting the customer walking in at the end and going, why does that do that? Like, shouldn't it do that? Shouldn't it be called this? Those colors changed, you know, last week, and we need to like change everything again. And that doesn't always filter back to the engineers, but it's experience that we all have that we can take forward and bring forward into the next job and say like, hey, you know, we've done it this way so many times, and every single time the customer comes in at the end and says, you know, why isn't it doing it this way? Like, maybe we should start off with that this time. And if we have those conversations with the customers up ahead, and if we're involved earlier in the process, then we can kind of catch all that before it gets to that, you know, sitting in the conference room the last day and all those changes want to come in.
Very relatable. Rich, I'll give you the last word on this. What is the industry missing out if programmers are not speaking up?
Finishing jobs successfully. I'm kind of using the band analogy, and you know, again, my career path, kind of like yours too, was, you know, I specialize more in dealing with projects after they've been screwed up than starting projects. I mean, my 30-year career has been built around coming in and going, yeah, that was not the right idea. And still to this day, you know, I mean, you've got system designers, you've got technology managers, you've got people who are kind of the front, you know, the face of the band, and they sometimes start to believe their own press. And from a business standpoint, again, and I'm speaking as a business owner and speaking to business owners and the business of what we do, not the personality of what we do, but the business of what we do, you know, and I see it on LinkedIn, I see it on Twitter, and I see people in the industry who, from a design standpoint and not the practical standpoint, believe that they've just invented fire and that they've got the most fantastic idea that's ever been created until it's a bad idea. But then the programmers are left picking up the pieces. I found that the consulting side of what I do is built upon all of the mistakes that I've made in the field in the past 30 years. And that is valuable information. You need to have, same thing, from your field technicians, from your programmers, from the commissioning people, from a successful business or organizational standpoint. Because sales is flashy, because you know you're selling stuff and it's the song and dance and it's the magic that is sold before anything starts. It's a great concept, but like Kate said, when you're dealing with somebody at 8 o'clock at night and the C-level suite walks in and takes a look at their boardroom and goes, hey, dot, dot, dot. The salesperson didn't get that call, you know, but they got their commission because that PO already got signed off. But organizationally speaking, from a profit center, from continued business, from being able to pick up the second office now from it, that's where you execute. That's where it happens, from being able to take that information, which is gold, and leveraging it. So, you know, again, for me, it's kind of come down to that dollar cent standpoint, which is whether you're a small organization or a large organization, that is talent that you need to mine, which will hopefully make your salespeople and your managers, your technology managers, better at what they do. Because sometimes you need to give them that reality check, which was, no, your butt just got saved. They didn't do it for the credit. They just did it to get the job done. And it's like coaching anything else, right? It's if you don't know a problem exists and if you don't pipe up about a problem, you can't fix a problem. So it tends to be endemic. And it's like, why do these jobs always go over? Why are we always losing money on this? Why is it always 3 weeks later? Because on the front end, you didn't harvest that information from the back end. And programmers need to be able to speak up and say, hey, look, what I say is valuable. And you have to go ahead and hopefully nurture an organization that values that and supports it. And if not as a programmer, there's lots of other places you can go that will nurture it. And don't be afraid to go find a place that will value what you do.
Well said, and a great place for us to stop. That's a mic drop. Thank you guys for being part of this. I'm sure this is a conversation we'll continue over time, and I think a valuable one, and one that I hope that our audience will really sink their teeth into, because this is going to benefit everybody. Kate Atkins from Root Integrated Systems, how can people get in touch with you, learn more about what you're up to, and also some of the work that you're doing online on UI and UX?
You can email me, katatkins@rootintegration.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I'm still on Twitter sometimes. I'm promising I'm getting back to that, code_Kate. And then my YouTube series, UX and UI in AV, it's called User-Friendly AV. So you can find that on YouTube. It's also got its own Twitter handle, and that should be kicking back up here soon too.
Make sure you check that out, especially if you want to learn about the fundamentals of UI and UX. Good stuff. Erin Marmoran. Erin, thank you for being on. Finally, we get a chance to have you, and it's been too long. Thanks. How can people get in touch with you, learn about HETMA, learn about Johns Hopkins and all the things that you're doing, and also EdTech?
You can reach out to me through my HETMA email, vicechair@hetma.org, or you can check out HETMA itself at our website, hetma.org. You can find me on the HETMA community, and also you can catch me monthly on the EdTech podcast on AV Nation. And you can find me on LinkedIn at Erin Marmoran, or on the social media platform formerly known as Twitter at Smearin_off_ice.
And Rich, another great show. How can people get in touch with you, learn what you're up to, and as you always say, where to find you?
That's it. You can always type my name into the interweb. Something will pop up. You can find the company at FragosaDesign.com. You can find me on the various socials at rfragosa. But as always, I hope the place that you find me is here on aviation.tv and our suite of shows that cover all of the verticals, including programming, resi, commercial, and ed tech. So big, big, big plug for Aaron to check out that show. Like I said, this place, hopefully you find me there.
Hi, this is Jennifer Goodyear
and Erica Carroll
from the Women in AV podcast, where we are encouraged by the incredible stories of women in AV.
Listen in on fun, empowering conversations as we chat with inspiring women, breaking barriers and creating their own path in the industry.
Check out Women in AV on avnation.tv or wherever you get your podcasts.
And supporting our sponsors.
Very good. And for me, you can find me at Steve Greenblatt on social media, my company Control Concepts at controlconcepts.net. And as Rich said, you know, we'd like to hear from our audience. Hopefully this is an encouraging show. And if anybody wants to take that step and do something a little outside their comfort zone, please reach out. We'd like to have you on the show. If you have other things that you want us to cover, please let us know about that as well. And please check out all the shows on the site and all the things that are being done to make Aviation a stronger media voice in the industry. So please check those out. Leave us a rating, review, feedback, share your favorite episode. We'd love to hear you, and we'd really be honored to know what it is that you like and that you're out there. And with that, this has been A State of Control.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This
is
AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.